Yeah, good morning. It's good to be back. Good to be back with you this morning. Most of you know that I went on a skiing trip, or should we say a tubing trip, and I learned a lot from that tubing trip. I learned that it's a whole lot easier to walk than it is to go down a big hill and slide like some 14-year-old kid. So I learned that. I also learned that I'm not young anymore. No amens, but some of you can probably relate to that. I also learned something else, that Jim Anderson did a good job preaching last week. Joe and I listened. We got some time to listen to the sermon, and good job, Jim, filling in for us. Had some good words to say, and actually overflows with what we've been studying from James about in the last days, how there'll be persecutions and stuff going on in our life. This morning, I want you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I want to talk to you today about being faithful in suffering. I'll recap for you who haven't been with us through this series. We've talked about being faithful in trials. No matter what trials come, we can be faithful to God. We also talked about not being partial in the way we serve God and how we treat other people around us. Then we talked about being faithful in our words. You remember that? You almost cut your tongue off that Sunday. But we have to watch what we say, keep our mouths closed when we're supposed to, and open our ears and listen, because God gave us one tongue and two ears. And then we talked about being faithful in gaining wisdom. And then last time I was here, we talked about being faithful as we draw near to God. And this morning, I want to talk to you about being faithful even in the midst of suffering, being patient in that. If I were to ask you one thing this morning, what you need more of, what would you say? What do you interact with me? What do you need more of? Huh? More time. Tim said time. Anyone else?
Patience.
There you go, Jim. You're jumping the gun a little bit. Anyone else? Wisdom. How about money? More money? Some of you are shaking your head no, and that's true. We're actually the richest people on planet Earth, yet we complain the most. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
We do that. But I want to talk to you about patience. If there's one thing that I need more of, it's patience. If you have ever ridden with me in a car, or if you ever ask my wife about my driving, she will say that I don't have any patience. Now, please raise your hand if you can relate with me. Come on, be honest with me. More patience. Now, here's another thing. This is for your spouses. If your spouse is the most patient person that you know, go ahead and let them raise their hand. Come on. You guys don't have any faithful, patient spouses? All right, Jim raised his hand, so we'll go with that. I have found something when it comes to patience. When things are going my way and things are clicking like I want them to, guess what? I can be a pretty patient person. But when things are not going the way I want them to, when things are not clicking like I want them to, I have found out something. I am not a very patient person. And neither are you. We like it when things go good. We like it when things go smooth. When the bills are paid and the finances are good and our health is good and our faith is good and our church is good and our family is good. Can I go on and on and on? I can. Everything's good when we do that. When things are going like that, we're patient. I think probably patience is the thing that we struggle with more than anything else in life. It causes problems in our relationships when we don't have patience. It causes problems in our finances when we don't have patience. It causes problems in our church when we don't have patience. Because everybody's not the same. Everybody say, we're not the same. Everybody say, we're not the same. Everybody's different. It's like those crayons that I have on my desk. Every crayon's different, and every person in the church is different. And some people, you have to wear, my dad used to say, you have to wear kid gloves with them. And there's a lot of truth to that. Some people you don't. Well, in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, James talks a lot about patience. So if you have your phones or your Bibles, open them there. I want to begin with verse 7. James says, Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, brothers, my brothers, some translations say sisters, and that's fine. Do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be what? Condemned. That's pretty serious. He gets right to the point here, and James' book is practical for everyday life. Matter of fact, it's one of the most practical Bible scriptures for us today in 21st century America, because we complain a lot, we grumble a lot, we say words we're not supposed to, and sometimes we don't get along. James writes this letter around AD 46, 13 years after Christ had ascended into heaven, and the church was going through some persecutions, it was going through some hard times. And Joe and I talked about this a little bit as we was on that ski trip. And we said that the prophets and those men of the Bible went through a whole lot more than we did. Even to the point of dying for their faith. Some of them were burned at the stake. Some of them were crucified upside down. Some of them, they'd have their nails pulled out and their toenails pulled out. If you ever had it done, I never have been. That hurt. And they went through a lot of stuff, even in the midst of this suffering, they were faithful to God. Friends, I want you to know we're going through some persecutions today. Now, I don't think we're going through persecutions to the level of the prophets went through, do you? And the people of the New Testament. I think we're going through some persecutions, and it's not so much physical as what it is more mental or more from the inside that you don't see. We're still going through persecutions. And James tells us, you be patient because Jesus Christ is coming back. Friends, can I remind you that over 2,000 years has come and gone, and Christ has not come yet, but I want you to know that He could come today. Amen? He could come today. And our loved ones and our friends and our families and those that live near us that don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's our job to tell them. And I don't know about you, but as for me, sometimes I'm a little lazy when it comes to that because I'm not sure what to say. Anyone else? Not sure how to talk to them because they're so close to us. And it's hard for us to get serious about the fact that they need to give their life to Christ because Jesus is coming back. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, I want to give you three very important things that we need to do in the midst of suffering, persecution, discouragement, loneliness, or whatever it is else going on in your life. First of all, we need to be patient and waiting. I guess you heard about the guy that come up to a stop sign and his car quit, the stoplight, and his car quit, and the light turned green, and he tried. Now, Marge, don't listen to this. Her car quit on her, and mine did too, by the way. And he tried to turn that over and over and over, and it would not start. And the lady in back of him did what? She laid on the horn, and she laid on the horn, and she laid on the horn. She would not stop. And then people behind her started laying on the horn. So we got this row of horns going on. Finally, the guy very patiently gets out, and he goes back to the lady, and he says, "Ma'am, I just want you to know my car died, and I've tried everything, every effort to get this thing started, and it won't start." He said, "Could you please walk up there and give it a shot, and I'll sit in your car, and I'll honk while you do that." Patience. James says in verse 7 through 9, look again, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you too will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. How many of you here this morning was raised on a farm? I thought there'd be more than that. I was raised on a farm, and for 50 years, I did the farming thing. I did it with my dad. I did it by myself for a while, and I helped Danny Strine farm for a while. And there were times when it was pretty good, and guess what? There were times it's pretty bad. And I can remember going out into the field and just kind of praying over the crops because we hadn't had rain for over a month. And the corn was all dried up, and it was shriveled up, and it was dying. And I had bills to pay. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? I had bills to pay. And I wonder, hey, Lord, could you please send me some rain? And you know what? Sometimes he did, and guess what? Sometimes he didn't. And sometimes we'd have a bad crop. And I remember days when we wouldn't take trucks out to the field. We would take gravity wagons. Because we didn't need all that storage. Because the combine's going to go around several times before it fills that wagon up. I remember those days. You know, if you want to be a farmer, you got to be a patient person. Now, is Tim Zahner patient? Pretty patient. But he loves farming. I know he does. And you have to love it. But more than anything, you have to be patient. You till the soil and you put the seed in the ground and you wait. And the corn comes up and you hope for those seasonal rains that come and you wait. And in the Bible, they had two rainy seasons where it rained for the crops. One month it rained for the crops another month. And they had to get those rains. Today is the same thing. In America today, you got to get the rain if you're going to have a good crop. You know, they always talk about global warming. I want you to know, back in the 80s and 90s, there was some global warming going on, amen? I remember it got really hot. And I remember I would disc in front of my dad. He was planting, and I would disc as fast as I could just to stir up some more soil so the crop could go in the ground, and so it would have enough moisture to come up out of the ground. I remember that. I think that James does a great job in using the illustration of a farmer because he puts a seed in the ground and he waits and he waits and he prays and he prays and he waits. And last year was a good year. Maybe the best year that the farmers have ever had in the history of the world. I don't know. A good year. A lot of farmers average over 200 bushel corn per acre. It's a good year. This year, expensive. Not a good time to get into farming. But it is a good year to be patient, Tim. A good year to be patient. In Romans 12:12, Paul says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." If you, your family, your church is going through some tough times, it's not if, it's when. You'll go through them sometime rather in your life. And here's what you need to be doing. You need to be praying. You need to be praying. And you need to be praying earnestly. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't pray enough. And I wonder why these negative tones in my life are going on or why I'm discouraged. It's because I'm not praying enough. Yeah, or I'm not reading the Bible enough. I notice there's still a few read through the Bibles back there. I actually used the same handout. It's a good one. I like it. You like it too if you'll do it. But you'll find if you read and you pray like you're supposed to, the discouragement, I'm not going to say it's going to go away, but it'll be lessened. Because the Bible says in this world you're going to have trouble. You're going to have persecution, tribulation. And Christ says, but take heart, I've overcome the world, so will we. The psalmist knew what it was like to wait patiently. He says, I wait for the Lord. Psalm 130 verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits. And in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning. What's the watchman waiting for? He's waiting to get off work. How many of you have ever said this before? I cannot wait for this day to be over. How many of you ever said that before? I can't wait. When we was a champion, I can't wait for this shift to be over. I can't wait to get home away from this place because it's driving me crazy. We've all been there before. We've all had rough days. We've all had rough stretches of life. We've all had rough weeks, rough months, maybe rough years. My advice to you is get in prayer and get in the Word, and I promise you from the bottom of my heart, it will change your life. Can I get an amen? Change your life. Stay close to God's Word as you wait. There's a second thing we must be faithful and patient in as we wait. That is, we must be patient in our witness. James 5:10 through 11 says, "Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." There probably isn't a person in the Bible that I think more highly of when it comes to patience than old Job. And my grandma used to say, "Yeah, keep the patience of Job. Keep the patience of Job." Remember that? Patience of Job. And I'd say, "Grandma, I don't have the patience of Job. Please pray for me." Here's the thing. Remember this about the life of Job. God allowed Satan to intervene in his life. Did you catch that? It didn't just happen. Satan just didn't swoom in on Job. The Bible says that God allowed Satan to intervene in his life. As a matter of fact, he encouraged it. "Have you considered my servant Job?" And what he was doing was he was letting him have at him. And he could take all his family, he could take all his possessions, and he did. He took everything he had. He couldn't take his life, but he could take his health. Kept one nagging wife, and we won't go there. But you know what? In the end, you read the last chapter in the book of Job, and God blessed him twice over. Started all over with the family. He blessed him with more camels and more oxen. He had twice as much as he ever had. And here's the story behind all this. In the end, I promise you, you'll persevere. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter what kind of persecutions come your way, in the end, if you're a Christian, if you're a baptized believer in Christ, you win. If you're not a baptized believer in Christ, you lose. Simple as that. And in the end, Job won. Here's a lesson for us. God is going to allow some things to happen in your life. How many believe that? God is going to allow some things to happen in your life, and some things might be good, and some things might be bad, but He's going to allow them to happen. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. We're going to get sick. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have persecutions, just like non-Christians do. But here's the difference. When we stand before God, we win. There's the difference. Now, I want you to get something else, and you can even write this down. The prophets of old suffered not for what they did wrong. They suffered for what they did right. Did you catch that? They suffered not for what they did wrong. They suffered for what they did right. They kept the faith. They were burned at the stake, and they never cursed God, and they never gave up on what they believed in. So the next time you pray, "Lord, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Why is this happening to my church? Why is this happening to my friends?" Just remember this. It happened to the prophets of old, and it's going to happen to you too. In 1 Peter 3:15, even in the midst of persecutions, Peter writes, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." I know a lot of times it's easy to pound the Bible down somebody's throat. It's not going to work. You got to do it with gentleness and respect. And he says, always be prepared in good times and bad times, in times when you're not persecuted, times when you are persecuted, be prepared to give an answer for the faith that you have. And I found something. When I'm going through hard times, sometimes it's easy for me to share the gospel. Does that make sense? Because it kind of stirs me to the fact that, hey, you're going through hard times too, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going through. And I'm going to tell you that if you're a Christian, you win in the end. You win. Let me encourage you today, no matter what you're going through right now in your life, never stop telling people about Christ. Never stop witnessing in the midst of persecution, because somebody needs to hear it. The third and final way in the midst of suffering that we can faithfully wait on Christ is this. We need to be patient with our words. James 5:12 says, "Above all, brothers and sisters," And I want you to underline that or circle it. He says, "above all." Now, two simple words, "above all." That means a lot. Because what James is saying here, of all the things I've said, above all, most importantly, brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven, not by earth, not by anything else, And you need to say this very simply: let your yes be yes and your no be no, otherwise you'll be condemned. Now, that's hard to understand, this verse. I'm going to break it down for you. It entails three things. You can write them down somewhere off the side. First, it involves making a promise or an oath with someone and not breaking that promise or that oath. And they did this in the Old Testament. Didn't do too much in the New Testament. They did in the Old Testament. They made an oath or a promise and they kept it. And you remember this? In olden days, and your great-grandfathers, they did this. They would shake hands. They would shake hands with somebody, and guess what that was? That was an oath. It's a promise. And if you were borrowing money from somebody, you'd say, I'll pay it back in a year's time, and you would shake hands, and that was gospel. They would do it. And people, most of the time, would be faithful to their oath or their promise. Nowadays, what we got to go to the bank. They got to run your credit check. And I still hate this to this day. Make a list of your tractors and everything you got. And I was like, really? Well, let me just go down to Citizens National Bank where all my credit's at so I don't have to make this big list anymore. And I'd have to sign my name at the dotted line, and it says, Carson, you've made an oath that you'll pay back Citizens National Bank so much money at the end of this period. That's an oath. And that's what James is talking about. If you make an oath, somebody, a promise, you keep it. Secondly, this verse also entails swearing. Do not swear by heaven or by earth. He's talking about don't swear, don't take the Lord's name in vain. When someone says God, you know. Or they'll say, Jesus Christ. You ever heard that before? So here's what you say next time they do that. Could you please not do that? Do you realize that the words that you're saying, God this and Jesus that, do you realize that what you're saying can condemn you? Do you understand that God can send you to hell just because you're using these words? And I've worked in a factory and I have heard every word under the sun. And I have heard women that I had never dreamed of saying these words, say these words, and they're not the one that blushed. I was the one that blushed. And when they said God this or Jesus that, I had to walk away. Friends, I want you to know the seriousness of taking the Lord's name in vain. It's not just bad. It doesn't just sound bad. It can condemn you to hell. And that's serious. And then third, James talks about bickering and grumbling with one another. When Christians fight and grumble and complain against each other, it not only does it look bad on the church, it looks bad on Christ. And not only that, when people hear you talk about people in the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ, they're probably not going to come to your church. Amen? It's probably not going to happen. He gives us a command here. Do not grumble against one another or you'll be condemned. Ephesians 4:29, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building one another up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The people are listening. You're talking. They're listening. And they're taking it in. They're taking it in. Is it beneficial? Is it whole? Wholesome? Is it of God or is it of man? Those are good questions to ask. And my mom always said, and I said it last week, a couple weeks ago, if you ain't got something nice to say, don't say it at all. How many of you heard that? So my kids, they grumble and fight and they bicker. And I said, if you ain't got something nice to say, don't say it at all. In Proverbs 16:24, Solomon says, gracious words are a honeycomb. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. How many of you have ever grabbed a fresh honeycomb? Man, honey dripping out of that thing and you just hold it up over your mouth and you drink that honey. Some of you are getting sick or getting hungry, I don't know. But that's what Solomon says here. Gracious words are like honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. But I want you to know something. If you say stuff, if you talk about people behind their back, if you gossip, not only is it not honeycomb to the bones, but you are actually doing damage to their soul and damage to their physical bones. Finish this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. And friends, you need to be careful what you say. If you can't say something nice, everybody look over at your neighbor and say, zip it. Zip it. I didn't mean for it to be so emotional. I love that song. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon, Jesus is coming again. Friends, as Christians, we got to be on our best behavior. We got to watch the words we say. We got to be in God's word. We got to be in prayer. And if you're in God's word and you're in prayer, you'll watch your words. Because this is like honeycomb. Amen? And maybe you're here this morning and you're going through some heavy, heavy stuff. Heavy persecutions. I want you to know that there is power in God's word. And there is power in prayer. And there is power in the fact that you and I come together each first day of the week, my greatest time of the week. Anyone else? Do not forsake the gathering of the saints, as some have gotten the habit of doing. But let us come to encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, Jesus Christ is coming back. If he were to come today, would you be ready? Because if you're not, the invitation is for you. Let's stand and sing together.